Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 68 of the JB Sism Show. Today, we're going to be talking about living a life of holiness. In other words, to post or not to post? That is the question.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the land of 10,000 lakes, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now, here's your host, Jason Sism.
And my friends, welcome to episode number 68 of the JB Sism Show. I am so glad that you are here listening. Got a great show in store for you. I am back from a 1 week hiatus. So Facebook, Twitter, and the you name it social media channels are all the rage. People feel empowered to share what they want when they want it. However, is that how we should be living our lives? Well, in today's episode, we're going to be looking at the dangers of posting what we want when we want versus lifting people up. As leaders, our job is to encourage and empower people to succeed in their family, their ministries, and their life. And if you truly want to have a voice that people will listen to, you simply cannot post what you want. So, that is what we're going to be aiming for. That's what we're going to be talking about. And I can't wait to dive into today's topic. It's going to be good. My friends, you're listening to the JB Sism Show. So, one of the things that happened this last week, my wife and I went to the Minnesota State Fair, and we actually broke a huge record on the Minnesota State Fair. Last year was about 130-some thousand people was the record. This year, on Friday of last week for us, we hit, no joke, we hit over 184,000 people in one day to the Minnesota State Fair. Now, if you have never been to the Minnesota State Fair, it is the place where basically we have coined anything on a stick. So you got cheesecake on a stick. You've got deep fried spaghetti on a stick. You have deep fried Oreos on a stick. You have pork chop on a stick. Turkey on a stick. You have apple pie on a stick with a la mode. You name it, it's on there, and you can buy anything on the stick. Well, it was so crazy. It was absolutely jam-packed with people. And after a few hours, my wife and I, we took Amelia with us, and it was crazy. After a few hours of battling the crowds, of running into people, seeing all kinds of strange people, you kind of get a little angry. You get frustrated. You get irritable. You don't want to be there anymore, and you're ready to just spout off something that you're going to regret. And that's kind of the place that we were getting to. We just didn't like where we were. We just wanted to go home. And on top of that, we finally make the decision to go home. It took us not quite an hour to get to our car, just walking from one place of the fair to another. And that's because the fair is just that big and there were that many people. And so walking was slow, especially when you're pushing a stroller. So we get to our car, and then they had closed Larpenteur, which is one of the main roads that goes by the fair there in St. Paul. They closed the road because of a Black Lives Matter protest. And so I couldn't go out the road that I wanted to, so I had to go the long way through the University of Minnesota campus. And it was slow going, Joe. It was rough. Finally, I want to say 40 minutes, 50 minutes after leaving the fair. We only live about 20 minutes from St. Paul. So it took us that long just to get home, just to get to the main road to get home. And you can imagine how upset one can get. Well, I wanted to go on Facebook and I wanted to just kind of spew my guts, and I didn't. I chose not to. And I did that because I knew that it wouldn't be good for my reputation. When you have nearly 700 people that follow you on Facebook, and between two accounts, probably closer to 800-900 people that follow me on Facebook and Twitter, that is a lot of people that I don't want to tick off, and it's not going to do very good for my image doing that. And so today I want to talk about being angry on Facebook. I want to talk about, why do we post the things that we post rather than spreading love, spreading joy, spreading peace to the people around us? And we have this propensity to want to spout our mouth off. Why? Because Facebook gives us a microphone to speak our mind. Well, I came across this video, and it was called "Dear Angry Facebook Users, This Is For You." So I want to play for you just a little bit of this guy's video. It's about a 5-minute video. I'm only going to play a couple minutes here. You'll get an idea of where he's coming from, because we all have been there. So I'm going to play this video for you, and then I will be right back.
This makes me so angry. Let me share it with my friends. Wait, before you post that story or video, I want to ask you something. If you don't like something, why are you giving it so much airtime, like you're getting paid to promote it? Now, we all know people on Facebook, and all they do is talk crap about something or somebody. Yet, they are spreading the message they don't like further and more actively than the people they don't like. Has it occurred to you that maybe, just maybe, you are strengthening the negative forces, keeping them alive the more you promote them?
Look, they're promoting us again, Ophelia. We don't even need to hire a PR team. They're doing all the work for us. Falling right into a trap.
Okay, you call it spreading awareness. But see, awareness can be spread in many ways, not just one that ruins somebody's day or doesn't offer a positive solution. I'm gonna tell you something I learned a long time ago. There's a lot of violence, police brutality, racism, and terrorism in the world today. It has been like that for a very long time. But the best thing you can do in the face of that is be happy and spread love. What do you mean be happy? Don't be naive. Where is your humanity? Open your eyes. Don't you see what's going on out there? This world is on fire. You're right. The world is on fire. And I don't know of any department whose policy is to put out fires using more fire. You know, boss, we don't understand. We just keep adding more fire to the building, but the flame keeps getting bigger. We don't understand it. What do you think we should do?
You know the policy. Fire puts out fire. Just stay the course, and it's got to go out sooner or later.
That's over. Funny.
Okay, got it. See, this is why every person is crucial to changing this world. Because when things happen, or you see something, and you become angry, and you become negative, what you have done is increased the amount of anger and negativity in the world. You've added more fire to the flame. See, there was already one tragedy. Then you got upset. Now there's two. Then you...
All right, I'm going to end it right there. And we tend to add fire to fire, and fire never puts out fire. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, do I post or do I not post? That is the question. In today's episode, I'm going to share a message that I gave back in 2012 at Life Church in Eden Prairie. And this message is entitled To Post or Not to Post. And the whole thing is on empowering people, lifting people up, and helping them succeed in life. And what we can do with our words and what we can do with the language of how we talk to people, simply expressing how you feel about a situation doesn't necessarily give us the right to express it the way we want to. Rather, we should be taking these situations and we should be putting a positive spin on things to help encourage people to live better lives. So I'm going to play this sermon for you, and I'm not going to come back at the end of the episode. I'm going to let it play all the way through. And if you want to learn more about me and what I do, you can visit me at jbsism.com, and you can learn more about me there. This is my blog. I write there on a weekly basis. This is also where I house my show notes, and you'll find today's show notes over at jbsism.com/068. So jbsism.com/068. And if you could do me a favor, tell somebody about this podcast. Help spread the love, because I want to help more people find their voice so they can succeed in their family, their ministry, and their life. Well, my friends, here's the sermon, To Post or Not to Post. I hope you enjoy it. Well, this morning, I want to talk about the power of words. The power of words. So if you're taking notes, the title is To Post or Not to Post. It's a play on Facebook if you didn't catch that. Remember the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Huh. We've all used it, maybe, at one point in time. Maybe it jest towards friends, or maybe to try to protect our own heart. Like, oh, it's okay, maybe when you were in school, I'll fall off the trampoline, but it'll be fine. Words, they won't touch me. I'm hard against them. They won't break me. So the words we use, whether it's in writing, whether it's in speaking, what we don't, I think, realize is they define us. Whether they are our words or somebody else's. They shape our lives. They bless, they curse, they lift up, or they destroy. And I don't think we fully realize that people's whole lives can be determined simply by what we say to them and how we act towards them. And I think we don't realize that is because of our fallen nature. We are selfish people. Everything about us is the me, myself, and I syndrome. But if I was to break down the word sin, it would simply mean this: to be self-focused. If you look at the word sin, and I remember my friend Donnie saying this several times, if you look at the word sin and you spell it out, S-I-N. Sin is self-focused. It has an I in it. So it doesn't matter if we're saved, church-going, or otherwise, we are self-focused people. And that self-focusedness, I don't know if that's a word, it works. We tend to look out for number one. And it's just because it rises its ugly head. But do we stop to consider that we actually may be hurting others, tearing them down, simply by our words and conduct?
However, on the flip side, Jesus has called us to live a holy life dedicated to his service. In Romans 12:1, you see Paul saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, everything about our life and our conduct should reflect the holiness of God. Amen. So, in light of God's great plan of salvation, he's calling us to respond appropriately and to live lives that are separate from that of the world. And he calls us to be above reproach and to be people who are turning the world upside down. The Bible called the disciples men who have turned the world upside down. Why? By their words. Their words of righteousness. But the question is, are we really living lives holy and acceptable to God? Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. But I find it interesting that we as Christ followers so often forget that. We go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, maybe the occasional life group night. But we leave it at that. We leave church where it belongs, in the four walls of the building. However, as we've learned the last several weeks now, church goes beyond the four walls of the building. We are the church, and what we say and what we do should, in fact, reflect that. So, have you ever stopped to consider what you post on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, talking with friends, coworkers, relatives? Is what we're saying bringing glory to God, or are they displaying our own selfishness? So this morning I want to talk about four areas that the power of words have in our lives and the lives of others. So are you ready? We're going to have some fun this morning. Number one, words are like destructive missiles. So, as a writer and an author, I try to think about words very carefully, try to think about them very articulately. And, you know, so when I wrote my first book, I was trying to go through many different drafts, and I went through word by word, paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, to make sure that it was good in my own eyes. So in 2008, I thought it was good enough to print. Except I never realized that I never had a single person proofread. Come on. The same is true in our lives. When we speak, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to dictate what comes out of our mouths? Are we allowing him to mold and shape our thoughts, proofread our thoughts before we spout off what comes to our minds first? See, the words we spit out can be very destructive without the help or direction of the Holy Spirit to proofread our mind. So as soon as the word leaves our mouths, it's too late. The damage has been done. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture today, so I hope you like scripture. James chapter 1. Let's start in verse 15. James 1:15. I'm reading out of the New King James, and if you don't have a Bible this morning, we have some Bibles on the back wall there for you to take. And if you don't have a Bible or you don't own a Bible, please feel free to take one as our gift to you. It says this, "Then, when desire has conceived it, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Verse 19. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is." You see what James is saying? He's saying be slow to speak and slow to anger. In other words, we're to engage our minds before we engage our mouth. For some of us, that's very hard to do. I'm talking about myself here. Jesus' brother is giving us a warning, and he's saying, be careful, because our tongues are slippery. And it can be very, very easy to slip. There's a story of a woman in a village in India. And she didn't like this other lady in the village. Actually, hated this lady in this family. And so she would talk bad about this lady, gossip about this. "Oh, did you hear what she did? Oh, did you hear what she did? Oh my gosh. Seriously." And she would talk bad. Well, one day she actually got to know the lady. Realized that, she's actually really not that bad. And she had a change of heart. So she went to the wise man of the village and said, "What do I do? What do I do? How do I fix this? How do I rectify this?" And he said, "All right, I want you to go home and I want you to kill all your chickens, pluck all their feathers, shove them into a bag. And tomorrow when you come back, as you're walking to my office, I want you to scatter the feathers along the road." So she got up early the next morning after killing the chicken, started scattering the feathers along the road, and she gets to the office and told the wise man what she had done. And he said, "Now, good, good. Now I want you to turn around, go back, and pick up every single feather." And the lady was like, "Whoa, how can I do that? By now the wind must have carried the feathers to and fro, scattered along the road and throughout the village, and maybe even neighboring villages. It would be impossible to pick up all the feathers." Listen to what the man said. He said, "And so it is with your careless words. They are like feathers scattered in the wind. You cannot retrieve them." Whew. King Solomon said in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit." So I come back to the question, do we use our words to build up, or do we use our words to tear down? Paul says in Ephesians to not let any corrupt word proceed from our mouth. See, we need to let the good of our words to be builders and not missiles of destruction. Even with good intentions, listen to this, even with good intentions, if not used properly, our words can tear down and cause strife. I want to play a video clip to help maybe drive this point home. So if you got it ready, go ahead.
You're Clark, you can use my computer. Knock yourself out.
You've been getting emails from Rachel Dunleavy.
You've been reading my emails?
You promised me you'd stop digging into my adoption.
All I did was post a few notices on adoption websites to see if I could get some hits. This Dunleavy woman responded.
Oh, so you said, why don't you check on my buddy Clark? He may be your son.
You have to believe me. I didn't tell her anything about you, Clark.
So it's just a coincidence? She shows up in Smallville claiming to be my mom.
She's here? Clark, what makes you so sure that she's not the real thing?
I'm not giving you an exclusive on my life.
You're not even curious that she might be your biological mom?
Why are you so obsessed about my mother? Do I ask you questions about yours?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, that's because she hasn't shown her face here in years. If you want to find somebody's mother, find your own.
I know where she is, Clark. The difference is she's not interested in me. Since you'll probably never speak to me again, there's something you might want to know. Metropolis United Charities was founded by Lionel Luther.
Our lives convey what is in our hearts. And if we only have anger and frustration built up on the inside, we will bring that forth in a way that will not only hurt others or deeply wound others, but we will hurt and wound ourselves. You see the hurt on both of their faces? Because they both knew they were wrong? You see, we are called to be builders within the body of Christ. We're to edify, lift up, and encourage. Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Listen to this. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So when we use our words that tear down, we are not glorifying God. And we end up grieving God in the process. Number two, our words direct others and us in life. So growing up, we had a family rule. Looking back, I think it was a fantastic rule. Hated it as a kid, but loved it now. So as a pastor's kid, you have to go wherever your parents drag you. We didn't have cars yet, so we didn't have the option of saying, "I think we're going to go home." So we were drug everywhere. It didn't matter if we were visiting somebody within the church, going out to dinner with somebody, or we had a special guest speaker going out to lunch or dinner with them after a service. We were expected to go. And the rule was simple. Mom and Dad would say, "Now, kids, be quiet. Don't talk unless spoken to." In other words, kids are to be seen and not heard unless directed to speak by an adult. It's a fantastic rule. I can't tell you how many baseball games or restaurants I've been to and the kids are like freaking out. And I'm like, "Parents, just have that little talk with them. It works wonders." Worked great for me. It turned out perfect. But I think this is a rule that we as adults forget. And we don't live up to ourselves. We tend to gossip and we slander and we speak badly about others, even if we don't think we're speaking badly. See, the tongue has power and influence in the lives of those around us. And because it has such influence, maybe we just shouldn't say anything at all. Are you with me? But on the flip side, if we are to influence the lives of those around us for the kingdom of God, we have to speak. And if we don't, we'll impact people's lives for eternity in a negative way. No matter what we do or say, it will either count towards righteousness or towards selfishness and lead us to sin. So the question remains, how are you living your life for the sake of the kingdom of God? The question, isn't it? So there's a man decided to join a monastery. And there was a rule in the monastery, you had to be silent, couldn't talk for an entire year until the day of your review came around. So the man's review came around 12 months later, and he was allowed to only speak two words. And he said, bed hard. So the second year came around, his review showed up, and he spoke only two words again, because that's all he was allowed to do, and he said, food cold. So by the end of the third year, he had just about had it. You know, not speaking for nearly 3 years. And his review came around, and he says to the headmaster or head father, he says, I quit. And the headmaster said, well, that doesn't surprise me. All you've done is complain since you got here. So all we do is complain about our situations, about our coworkers, about our money, about our spouse, about our family, about our friends, about the cut on our toe. I mean, we complain about just about everything that there is. But here's the thing, we are doing ourselves a disservice. And we're not going to go anywhere in life if we continually use words that tear others down. See, righteousness brings honor, and its wellsprings are deep with wisdom. However, when we dishonor, we bring criticism and reproach. We will not gain wisdom unless we first learn honor and respect to stand for the sake of righteousness. Proverbs 18:10 says this. Listen to this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. So the rich man's wealth and his strong city, that's his words. Because his words, a righteous man's words, are like gold. To be a person who directs others and lift others up, we must learn to flee from sin. That's why God says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Flee from it. Run from it. Righteousness brings reward. It's the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you're going to get. You see, when we pursue God, God blesses us. And when God is at the forefront of our minds, his word comes forth from our lips. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, our lips are the rudders of our lives. And if we use them for righteousness, we're blessed. And they keep us moving in the direction in which we set them. If our words are set for righteousness, we'll move in that direction. But if not, they'll move us towards sin. Number three. Is this good? Are you guys with me? Number three, our words display what's in our hearts. Go with me to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. If you don't know where Luke is, it's before John and after Mark, in case you were wondering. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Listen to what Jesus says. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. There's universal law called divine reciprocity. How many know what reciprocity is? It's kind of one of those big, strange words. In other words, when we give, God gives in return. In planting negativity, we reap a harvest of hurt and guilt. It is a reciprocal relationship. The ground can only give you as you give to the ground, or a bank can only give you interest if you put into it. That is reciprocity. Yet so many times we want to receive something for nothing, especially when it comes to the things of God. Everyone knows that it doesn't work that way in the real world. Wouldn't that be nice, though? But it doesn't work that way in the real world. See, a lot of times we tend to expect God to drop everything and send us a blessing, when we have not even invested a dime into the kingdom of God. See, if we're not investing, why is it then that we expect to receive something in return? How can we expect God to honor our desires when we have not honored the command to give? And that goes for material as well as our word. See, if we want people to pour into our lives blessings and praise, we have to stop looking at the specks in their eyes. Stop judging them. We got a log stuck in our own eye. But yet we expect them to still remain positive towards us. See, we think Christians are exempt from this type of behavior. We're so dead wrong on that. See, Jesus understood in order for us to reap a good harvest, we must first become righteous in our own lives. See, we cannot judge without first judging the content of our own heart. There must be a correction process to clear or clean out our own hearts. Remember my book? Thought it was good in my own eyes. Never gave it off to somebody to proofread. Well, in 2010, I thought it was a good idea to actually have the thing published. I read through it, and I'm like, wow, this thing really bites. Oh, did I really write that word? That's not even a word. Oh, that's really grammatically incorrect. What was I even thinking? And all of the English teachers in here would have been horrified. So I sent it off to an editor, a good friend of mine, and two other well-trusted people, my father was one of them, to proofread the book before I made it available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. The book had to go through a cleaning process. Our lives are the same way. We must only have good written on our hearts, righteousness on our hearts. We must have it cleaning out by the Holy Spirit. Good produces good. Bad only produces bad. Yet when it comes to the things of God, we expect God to bless us when we don't even know how to bless other people. See, we're not called to be judges or condemned. We are called to forgive, even if the offending party does not deserve forgiveness. Even if they've hurt us more times than we can count, and all we can do is just seethe about them, we're called to forgive them. See, we will receive a good measure poured back unto us by God if we bless. Number four, our words cause others to soar. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Told you I was going to go through a lot of scripture this morning. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs is a great book, by the way. It's 31 chapters. It's usually 31 days in a month. You can read a chapter a day. It's fantastic. And I really got all excited about this study on what our words are conveying. And so Proverbs is chock full of how we're to use our lips and how we're to govern our lives. So if you want some good devotional material, that's it. You don't need a book. You got that. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gifts makes room for him and brings him before great men. Verse 21. Let me go to 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Our words can be refreshing. Our words can be uplifting to somebody who's down, who's discouraged, who's depressed. We have the power within our words to bring someone out of the pit of despair. There are people all around us that we run into every day, work with every day, who are ready to give up on life and quit. They think and believe that there is nothing worth living for. Yet we have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit guiding us to speak into their lives, to lift them up out of the pit of despair. We are called to be a prudent people. Now, there is a bad connotation with the word prude and prudent. Ah, that person is such a prude. They're stuffy, they're stuck up. Oh, I can't stand being around them. Huh. However, listen to this. Webster's Dictionary defines it as this. It's someone who affects and shows a proper attitude. In other words, they affect a proper attitude in those around them. Someone who is sound, rational, and full of common sense. That doesn't sound stuffy to me. See, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to lift people up. Let me show you one more clip and then we'll close. In this clip, you'll see both the negative and the positive.
But from everything we've learned, I know you never will. Out of all the superheroes we've captured, you've always been the most reluctant to accept your abnormalities, haven't you? So badly wanting to believe in everything you hear and see and feel. So afraid to let go of this world that tethers you to any sort of normalcy, reality. You take that leap and you don't 100% want to defy the rules of this world. And it will kill you.
Don't listen to it, Clark. Just trust yourself. You did it for me when you told me your secret. You trusted yourself and you were right. The only way to see the truth is to close your eyes and ears and take a leap of faith. I believe in you.
You see, we have the power within us to cause people to soar when we speak into their lives words of wisdom, words of the Holy Spirit. And so my question, let me go back to the first question. It is this: to post or not to post? What is in our hearts and what are we saying for others to see or read or hear? My wife and I share a Facebook account, and I see everything she posts and she sees everything that I post. And a couple weeks ago, I was chatting with somebody on Facebook, and I wasn't being very righteous. I get home that night, and she calls me out on it, and she says, "Were you speaking righteously? Were you being salt in that individual's life?" And I hung my head, and I said, "No." The Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it." We're called to be prudent people, to speak words of wisdom. And remember, we will not gain wisdom unless we first learn to honor. So this is why putting the Word of God is so important and vitally important for us as believers. See, we are called to pierce and be a piercing in people's lives. We are called to forgive and act in forgiveness. See, our lives become a judge simply by living a righteous life. See, God wants to bless us, but He cannot unless we are constantly blessing people. But if we're shooting off our mouth, He can't bless us. See, remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, will you be speaking wisdom or will you be tearing down? In our areas of influence, on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, whatever it is you're using, we are called to be a beacon of God's light. We need to be diligent so that we're not a stumbling block for others around us. We need to allow the Word of God to pierce our soul because it is the discerner of our thoughts and intents. So next time you're on Facebook, ask yourself to post or not to post. That is the question. Why don't you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening. This has been the J.B. Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.